Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Rodor, and the effing door is still open.
I know, dude. My name's the Little Red Caboose.
I hate train games.
You know what my problem with f***ing Pat? Pat! God damn it, Pat! Okay. We had an agreement about the game on Sunday about goddamn phones. And your wife are playing on phones. I asked you to put...
I put mine down when you said so.
You both did when I asked you to. So we have this game, right? And I'm running a game. And I said, I will run this game if no one plays with electronic devices. No texting, no Angry Birds, no whatever, right? So that was my thing. You guys need to play with your phones, all that sort of shit, while the game is going on. That's cool. No drama. No problem. No whatever.
Wait, holy crap. He's really recording. This is the actual episode?
No, and this is my thing. I lay it down, right?
This is your fi hag?
This is my fi hag, right? So we did the prologue, right? We made characters, and I did a prologue. There was role-playing in the prologue. There's some action scenes. There's a fight scene and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it kind of set the tone of the game.
And this is your whatever Blades or Blades of whatever?
Blades in the Dark, yeah.
Gotcha, thank you.
And you know what? Nobody touched their phone. First game. Had a first game on Sunday. What do you think happened?
You got out your drill press, and you collected their phones at the beginning of the game and put them in the drill press?
Oh, my God. I see Beth is like talking to me, and she tilts kind of like she like, you know how you kind of lean towards somebody to talk to them? And what is on her screen in her hand is fucking Angry Birds. And I'm like, I could either be a bitch and just start yelling and screaming, or I could be like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to mention something. Because we have a Facebook group where we kind of organize our games afterwards, right? And I'll just mention something later on the week. Say, hey, guys, remember, we're not doing phones and electronics during the game. It's cool. Oh, my God. If she wasn't playing Angry Birds and you were texting the whole time. And I'm just
I was texting the whole time.
No, you weren't. No. And I will say, in their defense, I was like, in the middle of it, I'm like, because I don't want to make a big deal about it. And I understand that. This is a new rule for us, right? You know, people play with their phones through our games, through a lot of things.
Well, Dan, you're not subtle.
Because he's like, some of us are
what you're doing. All right, like some,
his one of us
is so close to your mouth.
Mike off, he doesn't need one.
God damn it, Pat.
One okay. of us.
So the audience, so they understand how drunk we are, how much wine we had at dinner.
All right.
We went to a winery.
Yes. So Chad had this idea we should go to a new restaurant that was also a winery, and we were kind of f***ed up. So, all right. Yeah. Now, what was going on right there is Chad's eating his mind. And Pat, I swear, owes me for a forever stamp because he's like mailing his voice to the mic. He's like in a different zip code than the mic. And so I'm trying to adjust
these. He's relaxing in his chair.
I'm trying to adjust these mics, but it really is about as subtle as like.
Yeah. And Dan is like, have you ever seen a live performance and you've seen the guitar techs in all black in the middle of a song? They're coming out. They're like adjusting a wire or tuning something. I mean, not like in the background, but like the artist is playing something and they're like...
Like the puppeteers from the beginning of A View to a Kill.
And you, as the audience, are supposed to ignore them.
Right.
That is your job, is to ignore them. And that's what Dan is doing. Dan is like moving the mic stand and everybody's and like...
because Chad's impregnating his mic. And Pat's apparently didn't even get visitation rights. So gaming things. I want to talk. This is a bonus episode. For those not used to our bonus episodes, we're just whatever. We don't talk about.
Basically,
God damn it,
every other episode that Brodor is on is a bonus episode.
Right, but Brodor, I want to hear this explained. Brodor hates train games.
Hold on.
What?
Dan, you need to explain yourself.
How's that?
Just period. Explain yourself.
Just what the hell? You order dessert.
Yeah.
And then you order Brodor's dessert. And then you eat both desserts.
Well, Brodor didn't want dessert, but Brodor wanted more alcohol, right? And Dan wanted more dessert and a little more alcohol. It was a win-win.
You could not look at the waitress in the eye and say, ma'am, I want two desserts. I'm an American and I'm an adult. I'm getting two goddamn desserts. No, no, you had to order Brodor's dessert.
Can you and Pat reach some kind of middle ground with the mics here? So, the two things we want to talk about this episode is, first off, Brodor, what is it with you and train games?
They're fucking boring. I mean, what the hell, dude?
Done. Publish. Put this out on the feed.
Train games are fucking boring. I would.
So, are we talking all from, like, Ticket to Ride?
Ticket to Ride is not a train game.
Ticket to Ride is a set-matching, color-matching
right.
game.
It's a Beatles song.
It is not, you know... Yeah. 1856 is a train game, and I'd rather just eat a fucking pistol.
Okay.
I do not ever want to play train
So we're
train
talking
game.
Like crayons Dan. And choo-choo. Sorry.
Oh, they're the worst.
Dan, let me give
Even
you...
Even Iron Dragon.
Yeah, let me give you a different perspective on this, right?
Okay.
I don't disagree with him. So a couple of years ago, I was part of a meetup.com group, which is the St. Louis Board Game Meetup Group, right?
Yes.
Which is in St. Louis. It's a very large, very active group that is all over St. Louis, which is very wide and diverse and in a large geographic area. It is an incredibly active group, right? And all they do is play board games.
Mm-hmm.
In the groups within that I put, because, you know, I only live in one geographic area, so I didn't travel all the way across town to go to. So in this group in the South, because I live in South County,
you don't get to the point fast enough.
I will slap the smirk off your face.
The point is, train games f***ing suck.
Right. So we went there. So here's the thing, is that there were all kind of people who wanted to play board games.
Yeah.
And one guy who wanted to play train games. It's a completely different genre.
He's in the Chappaquiddick.
He's in the Chappaquiddick. And it's just like he would suck. This is a bonus episode, right?
Yeah, sure.
He would suck your to play a board game.
I mean, it's not gay.
That was a problem with Marianne. She wouldn't, and that's why she's in the fucking drink now.
Right. So,
I mean, it's like that t-shirt. I'm not gay, but 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Right. So, I mean, everybody wanted to play all a diverse kind of board games. They wanted to play Power Grid. They wanted to play whatever. Like, all these different kind of games. But when you're like, hey, I want to play a train game like this guy would be, everyone would be like, oh, geez, man, I don't know. As a sort of neophyte in this, I would be like, I don't understand the reservation here. I mean, it's...
Can I say thank you for not saying noob?
Yes.
Like I'll suck your dick because you didn't say noob.
Yes! But we have to play a train game now. Damn it! So everybody
Pull
would
train.
Be...
I have Steam over there. Reels to Riches.
Not quite. There is a difference. I don't understand what the difference is, right? I mean... I have played a four-reel train game that isn't Ticket to Ride, because Ticket to Ride is not a train game.
Right.
I mean, it's
no,
like...
No, it's a good game.
It's a good game, yeah. It has a train theme to it. Train game, like, what would you say train games are? What are some titles?
Well, no, like I said, Iron Dragon, 1856, or 1862, or
right.
whatever, 1800,
Yeah,
blah,
these
blah,
are the
blah.
Kind of games that this guy wanted to play.
Yeah, I'd rather with the one my dad has is that he
Your
likes.
Dad is... super into trains.
Oh, he is, yes. There are some people that were laughing
like
about...
Like train spotting level train.
No, because...
I like, love heroin. Like station agent
Yeah. Like station agent
Whoa.
Because, yeah, he...
Station agent a good
For
movie.
Anyone who's not heard the story, I think I've said it on the show before.
Watch Station Agent, because it's awesome.
He grew up in the 1950s alongside the Memphis rail yards, and so he's a huge train fanatic, and people got a kick out of it. Fear the Con, not the last one, but the one before the last, I guess, Fear the Con 7, because apparently he ran some train games, and he has the actual, like, conductor's hats mm-hmm. and stopwatch. And this is all, by the way, this is not like...
I'm ordering this off of an Etsy store.
Yeah. Order.
This is, like, the real...
Like,
authentic.
He goes to these conventions, and he gets the actual timetables and the actual stopwatches. I mean, these are real historical artifacts. I mean, that's how into it he is. But he has one. I can't remember what it is, but I believe it's a... I mean, he does certainly like Ticket to Ride, but
sure.
he also has
it's
one.
A fun game.
And I can't remember the name of it, but it's one of the crayons and choo-choos games.
Wait, you're burying the lead here. People got kicked out of Fear the Con 7?
No.
Yes, because of the
train gang.
They got a kick
a
out.
Kick out.
Oh, okay.
No.
That was making it far more salacious.
No,
somebody did get kicked out.
Yes, somebody did get kicked out of Fear the Con 7. But that's because he was drunk and sexually harassing people.
He was
people.
Playing the Little Red Caboose, though, instead of the train game.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
We've said it before, and we'll say it again. Fear the Con does not have a whole lot of rules or a whole lot of security, but if you cross them, our response is going to be pretty...
swift, brutal.
Yes. We will make you play a train game.
Yeah?
Yeah, we will chain you down and make you play a train game. So, the topic for today's show, which is...
Oh, sh**.
Topic?
This is probably going to be a negative episode, because...
Oh, it's not that bad.
Come on now. Negative? We haven't even gotten into Blue Flower Prolapse. Oh.
So
I've got some videos to put in the show links.
All right. So I want to say something nice and then say something horrible. But before that, I'm going to say something trivial.
Is this your cancer joke?
No, it's not my cancer joke. That was a metaphor.
That was really good.
That was very funny and totally inappropriate.
So... I want to say something that's kind of amusing. A couple episodes back, I was talking about people, everyone has their gaming whale, and I said my gaming whale was a mammoth die.
What? I'm sorry, what is a gaming whale?
A gaming whale is most people, not everyone. Yes, I realize you're anti-product man.
No, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what you're
okay.
talking about.
Well, what a gaming whale is most people have something in their gaming collection they spent more on than they should have.
Nobilis.
Okay.
Oh, Vanilla Face, high five.
I have a first edition Nobilis book.
Wow.
Okay, yep. So mine is, I have on order, and it's being made right now, a D20 made out of an actual honest-to-God mammoth tusk. And
wow.
Yes. And the reason...
You know the Chinese are farming those mammoth tusk fields up in the northern tundra with, like, chainsaws and explosives? Because there's, like... hundreds of thousands of mammoth.
Yes,
out there.
And that's
it's not illegal. And
exactly. And
what are you gonna do with them?
My die right now is held up because they have to get a certificate.
This is what gaming with.
I know we're on a podcast and Pat's making a phone call. Yeah. But
no, I'm.
He's looking at porn.
He's calling his lawyer.
What?
Jalisco, Jalisco, Jalisco.
Pat, what is this?
Why do I have a little belly? It's Teddy Kennedy singing Jalisco. Oh, God, I love the Butcher of Chappaquiddick. It's my favorite serial killer.
It's getting held up because they have to get actual certificates of authenticity, not to prove it's mammoth ivory, but to prove it's not elephant ivory.
Yes.
Because they have to get it certified now to show that it is only mammoth ivory,
have
quote
I told
unquote,
you my elephant ivory story?
Because it's not actual, to show it's not part of, like, the illegal ivory trade. Yeah. Because it is made out of ivory, but it's not made out of the ivory of an existent species.
I just want one of those f***ing umbrella stands made out of an elephant foot.
God.
The ivory.
Wow.
Tell me your ivory story. I'm aware. I've seen.
Yeah, you've seen it. Dan
I've
has
seen it.
It
yes.
Before. My mother, she's retired now. She's like 70. She was a travel agent. She worked for Pan Am. And actually, there's a couple of interesting stories that she has about free airline travel because you work for Pan Am. And she has been in like the 50s and the 60s. This woman has been in safari in Africa by herself. She has been touring in Moscow with her mother in the 60s in the Cold War. Just visited Lenin's tomb, doing the tourist thing. She has been all over the world. My mother is a strong, independent woman who doesn't take shit from nobody. Anyway, she went to Africa on safari by herself. She traded with Native Americans, but they are totally not Native Americans.
No, not even vaguely.
Not even close, right? She traded with Native Africans, I think Zulus, for African lion hunting spears, which I own now, which are f***ing as awesome as they sound. And she also has carved elephant ivory. Before the ban. It's pre-ban ivory. And, I mean, it's like carved into a little scene and stuff. And it is shaped like an alligator. Like the point of the tusk is the alligator's tail and the other end is the alligator's mouth. And it's carved. It's very, very cool looking. But, yeah, She has that. Dan, why are you looking up I Ching?
Because I was looking at the I Ching.
An I Ching book.
Too. I know. Well, I was looking up I Ching because I was using my Null coins from Rare Earth Elements, whatever it's called, Rare Earth Foundry. I'll link in the show notes when I'm sobered up.
You chill.
So, but I know
they
I love
bought you. You know that?
They have pictures of Nulls on them. Look, if Playboy had pictures of Nulls in it, I would buy it just for the Nulls. But
would that be like six Null boobies?
I think it's like 8 or 10.
I only own one Playboy, and it was the one that Charisma Carpenter from Buffy is in.
Oh yeah,
who's Charisma Carpenter?
She played Cordelia on Buffy.
Who's Cordelia?
I've never
watched. But we don't have time for this.
I want you to know in the three coin I Ching method, the fortune for the Fear of Boot listeners is tails head. But I can't find the chart fast enough for what that
like
means.
Like those videos Pat showed us to dinner.
Yes.
All right. So for today's topic,
demonstration of your fortune
for this negative episode,
it is not a negative episode.
Yes, with this amount of profanity, this is going to be.
Are you kidding me?
This is very positive. People are laughing.
I know.
It's going to be one
negative.
Fine.
You negative, Nancy. This All right. is a positive episode.
Fine. I might have to at least put a. A disclaimer before it.
Shut up!
Oh, that's my favorite! I mean, seriously, claim to fame right there. Being on an episode where there is a disclaimer for the audience. But, oh, that's amazing. That's like, you made my day.
Let me tell you a story.
Tell us a story, Dan.
With a moral, and then we're going to
get
it
a long time ago?
No, it actually may be.
Yes.
Chad, there was someone that you ran to. You don't have to remember this.
Thank God.
Just play along.
Yes, I ran it.
There
yes.
was someone that you ran into who was a Fear of the Boot.
With a car.
Sure. I hope not. Who was a Fear of the Boot fan. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman, he was a Fear of the Boot fan, and he worked at McDonald's. And
Yes.
When he was talking to...
No, he was not a Fear of the Boot fan. He was a gamer.
Okay, he was a gamer, but he worked at McDonald's.
I thought you didn't remember the story.
I do. I actually do remember the story.
Stop ad-libbing.
No.
Shut the f*** up.
Not, because people yelled at me. People got angry with me because they thought I was being a dick to this.
And that's what I want to lead off with is saying that, look, if you
tell the story.
I don't even remember totally. I just remember you ran into a gamer who worked at McDonald's, but he was all ashamed of the fact that he worked at McDonald's. He was all embarrassed by it. And I want to say right now, because this is kind of an important disclaimer to the episode or the subject we're going to talk about here, is you have nothing, whoever you are. Okay, whoever I'm talking, when I say you, I'm not talking to you in particular. This is the undefined you, right? The theoretical you.
It's me, isn't it?
Sure. You have nothing to be ashamed of if you're out there doing an honest thing and making honest money. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you work for. I don't care how much you make. You don't have anything to be ashamed of because of your economic position in life. And so if you're a Fear of the Boot fan, whether you're making millions and millions of dollars, unless you're that one guy who just jacked up the price of AIDS drugs, you're a cock.
Oh, that guy needs to be slapped.
He needs to be shot. I realize people on the internet tend to lose their mind with
questionable facts. This is real.
If it's real, this guy needs to be shot.
Diazepam.
I'm not. Let's not diazepam. That's Valium. I'd be losing my mind.
Or, no, it's
it
starts with a D.
It's a, yeah, it's a couple.
It's the.
Point being, I'm not literally calling for violence against this man, unless you interpret it that way. But down to, I don't care if you're living on government assistance, whatever. Look, if you're doing your thing honestly, you know, you have nothing to be ashamed of. So don't ever think that in life. You know, if you're ever talking to any of us, don't feel that you've got to give some kind of disclaimer about what it is you do for a living. Because if you're out there striving, if you're out there doing your thing, that's totally fine. And you know what?
I listen to Tom Jones, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Good.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's not unusual.
No, it isn't unusual.
You know what? $20 is $20.
Yeah. Okay. But, all right. So, the topic for today, and this is, once again, keep in mind, this is just us being...
I have that vinyl.
Obnoxious.
I have like three Tom Jones vinyls, man. They are awesome.
What's new?
Dawn leaves the room.
I'm about to throw my panties on you.
No, not that man.
You know what? After all these years, Dawn and I finally have something in common. I would leave the room as well. But Today's episode, I'm going to entitle Bro Poor. Because it's about Brodor's story of growing up poor. And he, like, at dinner, he kept trying to start telling these stories. I'm like, Brodor, shut up. He's like, no, wait, just this. I'm like, no, we have a word for this. Within the hosting group, we call this overtreading the topic. It's where you do the topic.
Well, it's what Dan calls it.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so here's the thing.
Go wild.
Is that it's not that interesting.
Says you.
It's done. Recording over.
It's not that, so here's the thing. Train games suck. I grew up poor. It's not that interesting.
But all right, this starts with your dad being a lawyer.
Well, all right, so here's what happened.
All lawyers are rich, right?
Yeah. Well, so here's the interesting story that's totally not interesting.
Hateful and immoral, but not but not rich. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I think lawyers are great. Lawyers are like cops, man. Like, everybody hates them until you need one.
Yeah.
And then they're the greatest thing in the whole universe.
When I need a cop, I just reach around gun.
So my dad went to law school during the day,
yeah,
and he worked at a steel foundry at night. Yeah. And my dad has large feet.
And he's long.
It was,
what?
It's the only.
How the hell is this?
All right. You asked for Brodor to tell it.
Go ahead. Your dad has huge feet.
The only white guy that worked on the overnight shift, and he had these big feet. He was kind of this doofy white guy, and they called him Brother Foot. Anyway, so Brother Foot.
Okay.
Brother Foot.
Too bad we already call you Brodor.
So Brother Foot is working the steel foundry at night, going to law school during the day, right? So he ends up, you know, marrying this woman who was already, well, see, this is all screwed up because we've been drinking.
Go ahead. And he has huge feet and married a woman.
Brother Foot is already married to my mom and he's already got one kid. He's going to law school, blah, blah, blah. He ends up joining a law firm in Salem, Missouri. And
how many wives has your father had?
He's on number three.
Okay.
And they get better every time. Number four, it's going to be amazing. So, but he's old now. He's not going to go for four. Three is where he's going to stop, I suspect. Any which way. So he moves to Salem and he designs a house and he builds a house and blah, blah, blah. And things are great. And then he ends up moving to O'Fallon, Missouri, back before it was big O'Fallon, Missouri. It was just little O'Fallon, Missouri, kind of podunk hick thing,
sure,
right? And he and my mom are together, blah, blah, blah. They end up moving from one side of O'Fallon to the next side of O'Fallon, and then they get divorced. That's when things get weird, right? Because my
dad...
How old
are you?
I was 7.
Okay.
Right, so I have an older sister. She's 3 years older than me, and I was
19 when my parents got divorced.
Oh, wow. So you were mentally stable.
They were married 21 years when they got divorced.
So how does this huge feet figure into this story?
Well, it was important.
Just wait.
It was important that the listener knew that my dad has big feet.
These are data points.
And then he was called Brother Foot.
Okay.
That's important.
Data points.
Does that matter to your character?
Come on.
I'm sorry.
No. Does it matter to what feats you took or what abilities you have or what spells you cast?
This is why you are a terrible storyteller. You don't talk about the...
Chad.
Yes.
What's my According to the I Ching, Jarl gives you heads, tails, tails. That is your fortune.
Excellent. Brodor, continue. I'm with you, brother.
I don't even know what's going on now. Right. I don't know how this started. But basically the point was...
Apparently they moved around O'Fallon and some Jerry Springer shit happened.
Right, some Jerry Springer shit happened, and we live like across the street from these people called the Shoneys. It was my first girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. The point is that my mom was never around.
Wait, Shoneys, did they have a big boy?
They did not.
I'd say, Shoneys, are we talking about the restaurant, like the breakfast buffet or the Indians?
Christine Shoney, my first girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Did she have some big boys?
Not at that point in her life. She's a bit young for that. Any which way. So my dad's off doing his lawyer thing and doing his single thing. And my mom is being my mom and stuff that I probably shouldn't say on the episode, drug-addled whore. But
fair enough.
Train games.
So the point is,
she was pulling
is that
trains.
She... Oh, man.
$20 is $20.
The point is that that's exactly it. $20 is $20. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, and it was gross, and it was poor, and I had to walk to school every day, and that's where the first time I saw a car on fire was when I was walking to school.
Wow.
And it sucked.
Slow down, Brodor. So your dad was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Why was he poor? Was he not working as a lawyer? Was he making no money as a lawyer?
He's going to law school.
So here's the thing. Here, and it's the perfect storm of my ignorance, is that I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Right? And he just wasn't around. It wasn't that he didn't love his kids. It's just he was my mom was my mom, and he was not participatory. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if he had money, I don't know. I don't know what my mom did with the money. But we didn't have a whole lot of it.
Okay.
And it was hard. It was hard.
So your mom may or may not have been snorting and smoking your money away.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Who can tell?
According to Gnarl. Wow, your mom is heads.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
This is the first time I felt bad for the woman. She's not here to defend herself. The point is that it was...
Even a Noel's like, sure, why not?
It was rough growing up. We didn't have a whole lot.
I'll take your word for that.
Dude,
because
all right, so what was your worst Christmas?
Space camp. I went to space camp. Yeah.
What was your worst Christmas?
Did you know that Dan and I both went to space camp?
What?
Space Academy.
I know. So here's the thing, Dan. When you tell people that you went to Space Academy, they don't know what you're talking about. Because Space Academy is the more advanced version of Space Camp. But because of that movie, people only know Space Camp.
Yes.
So I have to tell the plebes that we went to Space Camp. So
damn,
that they know
call
what
me
talked
a plebe.
About that. Yes.
The point is, and here's what was really cool about
Dan had the bigger yard. I had the swimming pool. We both went to Space Academy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So here was the cool thing about growing up.
Okay. I wish the podcast could transfer Pat's face to the loyal listeners.
My extended family was always so good about making sure that we had something, right? Mm. So, for example, when I was going to Catholic school, it is my understanding that my great-grandmother was paying for us to go to Catholic school. We were going to a private school.
Okay.
And it was being paid for, right?
Right.
That part was cool. We never went without. Ends always got met. But you could feel struggle, right? You could feel the tension, the anxiety.
Yeah.
My mom was working two, sometimes three jobs. She wasn't around a lot. And when she was around, it was particularly difficult.
Okay.
My parents were not born wealthy. And I can't say that they were wealthy in the fact that they were... my parents are not millionaires, right? We weren't fabulously wealthy. My dad just... He was a Brock's truck driver. Brock's Candy, Midwest here is candy truck driver, and he got into the food brokerage business. This is a salesman who sells pallets of food to grocery stores, right?
But your dad was born for this.
Yes, yes, he was. I mean, we're talking about a man who could sell ice makers to Eskimos.
Yeah.
He is his dump stat is everything except charisma. And he just exudes charisma.
Yes.
The Eskimos understand that the artificial, the man-made ice is better than the natural ice.
It is. It absolutely is.
For sure. Totally.
And as I said before, my mom was a travel agent, so she had steady income and such. But they didn't start out wealthy. In fact, they were really broke when they had me. And my mom tells stories about how it's like, okay, today is the day that we go and buy groceries. Okay, well, let's drive to the grocery store and buy the groceries. And then they're like, well, let's stop and get some dinner at this restaurant. Okay, we'll stop and get some dinner at this restaurant. And then they get dinner at the restaurant, they get the bill, and my dad pays the bill. And then they go out to the car, and my dad says, we just spent our entire grocery money for the week on this meal because we're terrible with money. And so now we have to make do with peanut butter and crackers and the leftover eggs that are in the refrigerator and just the bare crust of what's left.
Yeah.
And, and I was a little tiny kid. So to me, this wasn't like, oh man, it's so rough. It's like, yay, I get to have jelly and crackers. I love it.
See, and that's what I'm talking about, is that in retrospect, as an adult, you can recognize what it was. So it was scuzzy.
Yeah.
It was gross. It was dirty. Mm-hmm. It was nasty. It was neglectful.
But you made do. My parents weren't neglectful.
So, Broder, here's my question for you. This is a rather direct question. What was the worst Christmas you ever had? And there's a reason I'm asking this. I'll tell you a story when you answer the question.
the Christmas I got a Nintendo and didn't get Legend of Zelda?
Oh my God, my friends.
I'm asking the poor kids.
sorry.
So, and here's the thing that I will say about my extended family is that I don't remember a bad one. And that's why the story is not particularly interesting.
Yeah, okay, because the reason I ask is because I dated a woman who had kids. And this, actually, I dated two of them that have kids. Carl's not one of them. But
sorry, don't say any more. I can't breathe.
But one of the most heartbreaking stories she told me, and this was an honest story. This was not her trying to play off my pity or whatever, was she told me that there was a Christmas where she was so flat broke, she's single mom time, that all she was able to do was to get each of her kids one Matchbox car. That was it. That's all the money there was. And that story, I don't know why, man, that really bugged me. Like, that really, it's still to this day. And this was like 20 years ago that I heard this story, and it still eats at me to this day. You know, I realize everyone's got their different backgrounds, and material wealth is not the end all be all of human existence. I mean, I get that. My parents were firmly middle class. They were not well off. I think in terms of what they actually did, they would be considered professional middle class. But in terms of income, they were probably closer to working middle class. I don't know exactly because I'm not real good at translating 1980s dollars to today's dollars. One thing I did find out is I had always assumed, in my mind, I basically striate the world into nine classes: lower, middle, lower, upper, lower, middle, up, middle, so on and so forth. But the way the federal government does, at least the U.S. government does, is it only splits the middle class into two groups, which is the working middle class and the professional middle class. Mm-hmm. Now, in my adult life, I am firmly in the professional middle class. I'm a computer programmer and Carl is a business analyst. And I won't give our tax information here on the air. But the point being is that if you look at the government statistics and their outlines,
you are double income, no kids.
Yeah, we're dinks.
He's a dink.
I know, right?
Yeah. See, I'm
bastard.
I'm an O-hink.
One income, no kids.
I'm a one and
you're
a half income, no kids.
Yeah.
You realize that works out to an oinch.
Yes. I have
one income, no kids.
But, well, no, my I have a half income and my wife has a regular income. And right. So we're one and a half.
Right. All right. But the point being, though, that growing up, yes, there were corners we had to cut. There were some things other people experienced. I did not. Our most exotic vacations were from St. Louis, going to other cities you could drive to, Chicago, Memphis, things like that. I've said before on the show, I didn't see an ocean until I was an adult. I have to this day never been to any of the Disney parks, things like that.
I've been to both.
Right. And I'm not saying this to say like, oh, whoa, it's me.
I love
that look, Pat. It fuels me.
But I'm not saying that, like, you know, the worst part of my existence is having never been to Disney.
You know
what
the worst part of Hawaii is?
No, I really don't. If you want to go back to like the 1700s, I can tell you what the worst part of Hawaii was.
Getting thrown into a volcano?
Getting generally stabbed to death?
There's a time of day when you're a little kid
back
and you're
when
at Hawaii and the waves are just too high and they keep knocking
you
over.
No, the worst part of visiting Hawaii is if you hit them at an era when they're all about mana and not about aloha. Yeah. If anyone knows their Hawaiian culture, they know exactly what I'm referring to.
See, my dad, like I said, he started out as a Brock's candy driver, right? And he would tell stories about how on Halloween, you know, the kids would come around to the different houses and they would give them candy. Here's a little butterscotch thing. Here's a little Starlight Man or whatever. My dad and my mom, this is before I was born, would sit out on the porch of their house in these lawn chairs, probably have a couple of cases of beer with them, drinking it and talking and stuff. And then the kids would come up and they would be like, oh, hey, that's some cute costume. Oh, look, a little witch, a little ghost. And my parents are broke, by the way. And they'd be like, oh, what's your joke? Oh, why'd chicken cross the road? Whatever, that's a funny joke. Okay, here's some candy. And then they would reach behind them into these cases of Brock's candy and give them handfuls and just, here you go. Whomp,
you never got TP'd, did you?
Never.
Okay, because Halloween is the neighborhood extortion, right? This is right. Teaching little criminals how to extort once a year.
Here's my teepee story, right? So, Pat, this is, you're going to have to contain yourself here because I'm going to tell the story of my neighbors.
So he should stop furiously masturbating.
Right. So my neighbors, yeah. I had the girls.
Yes.
And there were five of them.
I don't know.
Four or five of them.
They were Mormon and blonde, I can tell you that.
Yes. Aged from my age, whatever my age was at any particular point that I lived there, to 18. I mean, that was the range, right? Those were my neighbors. And they had a swimming pool, and there was a window in my house. I could watch them swim in their swimming pool in their bikinis, which I didn't. I was a late bloomer, I guess. It totally did not interest me. But they were all cheerleaders, too, right? Oh my God. Because they were very popular in school and because they were cheerleaders. And it's sort of the, you know how boys tease girls because they are attracted to them sort of thing? Every year, another girl in that house would become a junior and a senior and a varsity cheerleader.
And get TP'd.
And they would get TP'd incessantly. And I don't mean, oh, someone would buy a 4-pack of toilet paper and toss it up. I mean, they would go to Sam's and they would buy the pallet of toilet paper because these girls were very, very attractive. They were very beautiful young women. And they were also very, well, they were Mormons. I mean, they were not, how should I say, loose with their morals.
Right, right.
So they were modest.
Yes. And, but they did have magical thongs.
I don't know anything about
it. Narl's going, I'm going to move to the 4-coin I Ching. And Narl says that they are tails, tails, heads, tails.
So, and like I said, so they were kind of unapproachable. Again, you tease the girl that you're attracted to, but you cannot have. So, I mean, they would just get nuked with toilet paper multiple times a year. My yard, completely untouched.
I am so glad that I have, you know, two boys and no girls.
Yeah.
Just for that reason.
Right.
That's one reason. There's many others. Our next door neighbor right now, they had two daughters. And when we moved in 10 years ago, the girl was like, she was like 11. So I've actually watched this girl grow up from, you know, 11 to now, like,
legal,
you know, to 21 or 21, 22 years old, whatever. And she's very pretty. She's a very pretty girl. And yes.
Yeah.
Every year, my next door neighbor got TP'd and it would spill over on ours.
Because it's not the four toilet rolls.
But they would TP because she's a very pretty girl. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I have boys.
Here's how my neighborhood's working out.
You have the bullies next door that I wanted to beat up.
My neighborhood, not my parents' neighborhood. Oh. My current.
Well, that's not a very interesting story.
Oh no! I'll tell that story in a second. But in my current neighborhood, there are a lot of kids.
And I defended Dan's honor.
Sort of. I'll tell it for a second. Hold on. Okay. But these kids range in age from like 3 or 4 all the way up to college age. Okay, this is my current neighborhood, and we've lived here 10 years, so I've been here long enough to see. These kids grow up from, you know, wee little things to now be
idiots. They're teenagers.
They certainly didn't.
We were all idiots when we were teenagers.
Well, yeah, they never actually really bothered me. The local kids have never bothered me.
You had
me.
A pot tree.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, yes.
But here's the thing, though.
But they weren't from this.
Is town. I always assumed the local kids probably didn't like me because having an anxiety disorder, and by the way, I'm going to do a whole bonus episode on that at some point, but having an anxiety disorder, I don't socialize much. I don't bother anybody, but I tend to be very reclusive, stick to my house, stick to myself. And so, I mean, the neighbor kids.
You've always said that your podcast persona is very different
from
your in-life persona.
Exactly.
Your podcast persona is you're an extrovert and you're outgoing and you ask challenging questions and you challenge people. As someone who's known you for over 35 years, I know that that's not
That's not the case. Who I am at all. And so Carla's out there all the time.
Oh, God, no. How long have we known each other now?
35 years, you're correct.
Is it 35?
Yeah, about 35, 36 years. And Carla's out there all the time. She does the yard work. She's always out there socializing with them. She likes being outside in general, even when she's not working. And so all the neighbors and all the neighbor kids know her, but they never
see the old man in the window, like glaring at them.
I don't look out the window. I'm like the old man who walks up to the window long enough to drop the shade and then walk away. And so, like, none of them.
You're not dropping trowel.
None of them know anything about me. And so I just presuppose that I've got to be the creepy neighbor they've got all these like stories about or theories about. And I only came to find out I'm wrong. And see, I've never worried about getting teepees. I have four dogs and four guns. But I only came to find out I'm wrong because recently the guy across the street from me who's Catholic, he has no BS, you're like five or six or whatever kids. Right. And one of his kids was graduating and they invited Carla, and probably just to be polite, me as well, to this girl's graduation party. And I went over there and came to find out that apparently their actual neighbor, not the person across the street from the person living next door to them, he is a complete freaking cock. And so apparently everyone in the neighborhood hates this dude so much that I fly under the radar because at least I'm not like out there. This guy literally, no joke, is like calling the cops on them and sitting there in the window like spying on them and crap. So apparently just by like being the weird guy nobody knows anything about, I'm flying under the radar. I'm like, you know, everybody's cool with me. Mm-hmm. It's this dude. But okay, so Chad, your story that you were talking about was when I lived at my parents' place. I was an older teen by this point, and I originally grew up with one set of neighbors to my parents'.
Oh my God. Right. If you're facing the house,
it was on the left. These guys are
dicks.
And they were, the original neighbors I had were really cool, but then they moved out and another family moved in. And at the time, those kids had some serious freaking issues. I say kids, but these were teenagers. They were using drugs, dealing drugs. Let me put in allegedly here since but is my understanding actually, but I'll go ahead and say allegedly just to be nice, but
you don't want John waggling his finger.
Did you buy drugs from them?
No.
Did you see them sell drugs?
But at one point,
there were no drugs ever
point, we were having a game at my place, and while my friends and whatnot were showing up, these two kids came out and the older brother starts trying to egg the younger brother into a fight. And Chad's
with Dan.
Yeah. And Chad's like, okay, let's do this. He just dropped into a fighting stance.
I'm not big into the whole thumping your chest.
It's just like,
because the one kid was like, come on, man, I can take it, come on, man. And I'm just like, are we fighting?
Yeah. And Chad's like, let's do this. And just drops into a fighting stance. Like, what we're going to do is let's do this. And the kid freaks out. He's like, oh my God, this guy knows karate and shit. I'm not going to fight him and blah, blah, blah. And starts freaking out. And so the fight never occurs.
Well, he turns around. So they're like talking shit. Right. And I'm trying to ignore them. When I pull up, they're trying to take Dan. Right. And
they were just talking crap.
They were talking a lot of crap. But
no fists had been thrown or anything.
That
it was just
does not fly with me. And I'm just like, are you messing with my friend here? Sort of thing. And they're like, I'm going to talk. And I'm just like, okay. Are we going to fight or not? Oh, man, I'm going to f*** you up. And then I pull back into a stance. And then they're just like, oh, man, this dude does karate. And the other one's like, oh, f*** him up. And then I start in the stance walking towards the guy. Because I'm going to flatten him and put him on the ground. And they run away up to their house. So I walk up to their house. I start banging on their door. I'm like, I'm here. You want to fight? Come on. Are we not fighting?
Yeah, and in
what's
years,
going on?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm very confused.
Yeah, I just...
Are we fighting?
I just need to know where we're at.
I got to say, look, I got to give credit where credit's due. In the 20 years since this happened, they've both grown up and they've actually both become really cool guys. They've both really chilled
teenagers
out.
Teenagers are idiots. Yeah. And then you grow out of
well,
it.
Well, yeah. And they've really chilled out. They've gotten off the drugs, allegedly, and
they allegedly got off the alleged drugs,
allegedly, but allegedly they both become like really responsible, really nice guys. Like my parents now, and there came a point in my adult life where I don't know how many details I want to give here, but that was kind of where it all sort of climaxed, and since then it's now gotten to the point where they get along great with my entire family, and they're really super cool. And it's a really nice family.
Did I tell you about the guy I punched with a pencil? I might have told that story on this
show. No, you've talked about laying out a few people. Yeah. Some of them I was there to see. But
so this was in elementary school, and you have to remember, I'm a big guy. Right now, I'm 39 years old, but I'm 6'3". I'm 235 pounds. I lift weights. I'm a large person, And I've always been like that. I've always been taller than everybody else. I've always been bigger than everyone else going to school.
I can vouch for this.
The thing is that I used to be an introvert, and I used to be very timid. I used to be very shy, and
until you realize you could whoop somebody's ass.
Well,
and then you were like, "I'm out of my shell, bitches."
It's like, hey, no. What happened was that the bullies, when they got old enough to become bullies, realized sort of the Sun Tzu approach is that you don't fight things that will beat you. You fight things that you can win against. The introvert is someone you fight. And me, I'm double points because I'm bigger than them and they can beat me up. Right. So there was, and I told the story about this guy named Mike who I pounded, but I won't get into that. But there's this other guy named Matt.
We're not talking about me and my ass, right?
Not yet. Little red caboose. But there was this guy named Matt, and he used to, in elementary school, he used to beat me up. And there was this time.
A dude named Wyatt used to beat me off, but I think that's different.
20 bucks
that's
is 20 totally, bucks.
20 bucks, 20 bucks. So anyway, we're in
Chad,
this.
I have to leave this off the episode. Was that the last name?
Yes.
Okay.
So there was this guy. It was in a classroom, and we had these eggs.
Somebody beat his ass on my behalf. Just putting that out there. Go on.
We had these eggs that we soaked in vinegar, and then it makes them to where you can bounce them.
Yeah.
You don't need it. It's like a science experiment. You can bounce them and something. And so we're bouncing them, and then it's like you're supposed to like write down how long they were in vinegar, how many times you can bounce them, how high you can bounce, whatever. And then I'm partnered with him, right? And so he's bouncing them, and then I'm writing the whatever statistics down. Thing is he's not doing that, and he's pushing me in my shoulder, and he's taunting me. He's just like, hey, motherfucker, hey, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, again, I'll talk. God, talk bores the shit out of me when there's a fight to be had. It's just talk. I'll just punch you, and then we'll be done with it. Well, anyway, he's talk. He's taunting me, he's punching me, and I don't fight back, and I'm the shy guy. And then all of a sudden, I'm writing with this pencil in my right hand. And then all of a sudden, I see red. I turn around, I look at him, and I punch him right in the face. And I forget I have a pencil in my hand. And so I stab him in the face with a pencil. And I break the point off in his nose. And so and he starts screaming justly. I mean, yeah, he just got stabbed in the face with a pencil. And he starts running and stuff. So I don't really know what happened after that. I don't remember. Years later, we're in high school and we're in a study hall together and we're sitting at the same table and we're talking. And it's just like, hey, man, you punched me in elementary school. I'm like, yeah, you bullied the shit out of me in elementary school. And he's like, yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I was being a dick. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry I punched you. Dude, I tattooed his face. He has a black mark on his nose for the rest of his life where I punched him with that pencil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I'm just like, you know, he only tried to bully me once.
And when I was a kid, I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I mean, most people see me lately know.
I'm tall, but you're skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I are the same height.
He's packing some moose knuckle, though. Those shorts are tight.
But, you know, I mean, I'm not a physically imposing person, but I am a tall person.
Right.
But throughout most of school, I was an incredibly short kid. I mean, I had a massive
growth. Yeah, you sprung up later.
Throughout high school, but through elementary school and junior high, I was just a tiny little kid. And in fifth or sixth grade, that same guy that you're talking about, right, he came up, punched me in the stomach fairly freaking hard, mm-hmm, and knocked the wind out of me. I don't know if you guys have ever had a stomach bullet knock the wind out of you.
Yes,
it is once. Really freaky because you can't breathe.
You can't breathe. And the one time I had it, I was like, I can't
yeah,
breathe and like it, that. I was panicking.
Yeah, exactly. And it really freaked me out.
Hit me in my diaphragm. It stuns your diaphragm.
But there was a guy named Glenn who was fairly large, mm-hmm, for his age. And he was not intimidated by this guy, and he tracked him down.
Glenn was a good guy.
He's one of the few people from my earlier years I've not caught up with as an adult, mm-hmm, that was a good friend of mine. And I really do wonder what happened to the dude, because for as many people...
I was sitting on... Glenn lived down the street from
me. Yes, he did.
And I was sitting on his porch, with him, and we were talking about whatever the hell kids talked about in the 80s. And it was a bright, sunny day in the middle of summer, and then we fell in love. No, we. I looked down the street. The street ran, like, parallel to his house, I guess, like, every street.
Sure.
But anyway.
Perpendicular, but yes.
Now that I explained that, that's ridiculous. But I looked down the street, and it's raining down there. It's bright and sunny here. It's raining down there. And then all of a sudden, the rain starts getting closer. And then we're watching it, and then the rain goes down the street. And we just sit there, watch it. We watch it cross us, and it's just like absolutely dry and sunny. And then whoosh, just,
yeah,
it was amazing. It was really neat.
As a kid, I got bullied a fair amount. I had incredibly few people stand up for me. And Glenn was one of the people he stood up for me. When this guy punched me in the stomach.
He had a clubhouse in his backyard.
Yeah, he was. Like I said, I need to track this guy down because as an adult, I don't know what happened to him. And there's a lot of people that if I was to settle accounts with him, it would not be good. But this is one of the guys I was to settle accounts with. It would be in the positive. But
every negative experience that I had as a kid, I later have encountered the person as an adult.
I have not. And that's the thing.
And it's been totally, dude, hey, man.
That's the thing, cool, is, man, all the people that bullied me, I have run into almost none of them as an adult.
I ran into Mike. Sorry, you're going to cut that. I ran into Mike. ...
Yes.
And I might have told this story on the show before, but Brodor, you talk about that moment when, you know, you realize you're big and then suddenly you're just like, oh, I break out my shell and I'm not shy anymore and I can beat up everybody. I had that moment. I had the sort of...
It's the first Spider-Man versus Flash Thompson fight.
did you see this fight, by the way? The one I'm about to talk about?
If it's the one where you did a ground and pound, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I saw that.
So, you know, again, I was shy. I was timid. I got the shit kicked out of me every single day, multiple times a day. I was beat up all the time. I was very heavily bullied. I think I pulled some bully aggro off of Dan. I was bullied so much because Dan, you were kind of a scrawny nerd. So
yeah, but the people that were after you were not the same as the ones that were after me.
Gotcha.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm just fascinated.
School sucked for us. It was not.
Yeah, it was honestly the, you know, I mean, in some ways, I don't know, man. Actually, no ways. There are people talking
school
about, man,
sucked.
I wish I could be a kid again.
No, I like being an adult and armed.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, between the various kinds of abuse that I suffered in every aspect of my life as a child, I'm not sure there's anything I would want to go back to.
No.
I mean, there are certainly, I'd like to have summer vacation again.
Don't get me wrong,
but that's really about it.
See, I was a privileged white kid. I get it, but I was beat up every day of my life.
And here's why me growing up poor isn't interesting. Yeah. Because I recognized even at the time that we did not have what the other people had, but there was some infrastructure somewhere inside the family that I did not see firsthand that made sure that we were okay. No. So even though I grew up poor, not having what the others around me had and recognizing that and being, you know, mocked for that, you know, being ostracized for that.
Yeah.
I didn't have it like a kid growing up in the inner city who's really, really dirt poor.
And don't get us wrong. Dan and I, we grew up in a safe, middle-class neighborhood. It was very safe, but we grew up in a time where if you got the shit kicked fucking out of you by multiple people beating you, because you are alone and weak, that's boys will be boys. That toughens you up.
There was
no recourse. There was no, that's you
and
being
there
weak.
Are some stories I won't go into because of the...
It's like prison yard rules. It's ridiculous.
And there are stories I won't go into because of the... There's some people I don't feel comfortable calling out at this point in my life, except to say that the biggest problem I had is that there was no escape from it.
There's none.
Anywhere I went, I was facing one form of abuse or another.
See,
and that has an effect on
people.
And
you know what Dan and I's answer to this was? Dan and I's answer to this was not to withdraw, and it was not to become angry or anything like that. Our answer was to surround ourselves with very good and very loyal friends.
Yep.
And to create a big tent where everyone was accepted.
Yeah.
That was our rebellion.
And you know, and this is one of the crazy things where it's like, I don't think anything good directly came from the emotional and social abuse that I mm-hmm. suffered for the first.
And we both suffered.
I mean, probably good 16 to 17 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that indirectly, you know, there are things where you develop an empathy and a sympathy because you know what it means to be there and you don't want to put other people there.
Our rebellion was to be good to our friends.
Yeah. And that's kind
because of because everyone else was treating us like shit.
Exactly. And the culture of Fear of the Boot kind of comes from that. This mm-hmm. desire of, you know, I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to approve of you. I don't have to even like you
right.
to say that I want you to feel at peace. To say that I don't want to be to you what so many other people were to me. And I don't know. You know, maybe that's good, whatever. I don't want to sit here and get too philosophically on this episode. But
that's for a very special episode.
For a very, yeah, and there is a very yes. special Fear the Boot coming where I want to talk about some of the stuff. But it's not this episode.
See, I didn't have what you guys had right. growing up in terms of other people bullying you. I did not experience that. Yes, I had kids that I had trouble with. Yes, I had kids that I had fought with in school. But for the most part, all of the abuse, anything that terrible happened, that happened at home.
Mm.
Right. And so everything outside of home, that was the escape.
Yeah.
So going to school.
See,
right?
That's the thing, brother. I'm not saying it didn't.
See,
like I said, there are certain right. things I don't care to talk about at this point in my life.
But on the other hand, on my end, I had two parents who really loved me, but they also worked many, many, many hours yeah. a week. And I was right. alone the vast majority of the time.
But the good thing for me, at least, is that going to school,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't big, I wasn't strong, I wasn't powerful, I wasn't tough, but I was that kid that had that thing, that look in his face that you yeah. were like, you know what? That kid looks like he's backed into a corner already. I'm just going to stay away from him.
Yeah.
And so when people did come over and did harass me and did give me trouble, it got ugly really, really fast. And, you know, sometimes you get your ass kicked and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
But if they know that you, I mean, one of the best lessons my father ever taught me is he said, boy, there's no such thing as a fair fight.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree.
I have behaved my whole life that way. And when somebody recognizes in a fight that you, as the, you know, they have their boundaries that they're not willing to cross because it's not proper, it's not noble, it's not right, it's not honorable. And then they're fighting the guy who, whatever. I mean, you know, if we're going to fight, we're going to fight. And, well, you know, there's, you know, no gloves, mm-hmm. no holds barred, etc. And so that.
Yeah.
That kept me pretty safe as a kid.
I'm going to hold on to that because there is an episode here for the Boot I want to do at some point. I don't know when. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years from now. But there is an episode I want to do about some of the stuff where I want to get a little more serious. But that's not today.
So, Pat, did
yeah,
you
we're
ever
way
get
too drunk
up?
For that.
No, you were popular in school.
No, I was.
Good time.
I was fine. I didn't have these problems. So, yeah.
You were handsome. You got a huge dick. You were swimming in money. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're slamming bitches left and right.
When you go to the private schools in Europe that Pat did, they just don't have bullies. Yeah. In fact, they have to pay people to come in and bully you just so you know what the other kids
you
are.
Ever heard of Oxford? Pat has them because it's beneath him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I went to German space camp.
On the moon.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for tuning in.
You know what, I don't feel bad for you.
Are you
kidding? I know where you work.
Thank you for sticking on. This episode was like a bull. Like, you just had to hold on. You didn't know where the it was going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when in my party days, we always had, like, there's the stages of drunk. There's the happy, silly
We've
stuff.
We've done it, dude. We've come down to the emotional stage.
Yeah, this is the melancholy stage.
And this
stage.
Is why we need the episode now before we all start falling asleep.
Right, because after the melancholy stage, people start passing out
exactly.
or they start sobering up.
So we need to cut up now so these guys don't fall asleep on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do want to say is, for those of you stuck with us, we will be back to talking about gaming next week. In fact, we have several. We got a backlog of topics we want to talk about.
Yep.
We want to talk about, we did the FIHAGs, people you don't like at gaming. We've got an alternate topic for people we do like at gaming and things we want to see more of. Chad's running, was it a Blades in the Dark game?
Yep.
And he's using a whole AV setup we want
yes,
to talk about.
I have a GMing battle station
I know,
want to talk
which
about.
For Chad, this is quite... This is
it's something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about all this. So if this episode weirded you out.
I love you, Lewis Murphy, wherever you are.
then I don't know what that even means.
That weirded me out.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
So, thank you for tuning in. Have a great week and great games. And we will catch you guys with a much more normal episode next time.
Thank you.